Over 300 people were killed in Sri Lanka this weekend in an attack targeting Christians. Wait. Easter worshippers. And Robert Mueller isn't safe from MSNBC, even after Easter Mass. I'm Amber Athey, and this is Unfit to Print. Hey, y'all. This is Unfit to Print. I'm your host, Amber Athey, the Daily Caller's White House correspondent. Sadly, over 300 people were killed in Sri Lanka over the weekend in a terror attack targeting Christians and tourists. There were explosions at churches and hotels. Absolutely tragic attack. But leave it to the media to politicize, to whitewash, and to unleash all of their worst hot takes in response to an international tragedy. Miriam Elder, a BuzzFeed News editor, had perhaps one of the worst takes I've ever seen that was just so divorced from reality. You have to see the tweet in order to believe it. She accused Donald Trump of racism for his response to the Sri Lanka attack. Now, let me read Trump's response first, because it's so milquetoast and so standard from a world leader that it's hard to find any fault in it. He wrote, 138 people have been killed in Sri Lanka, with more than 600 badly injured in a terrorist attack on churches and hotels. The United States offers heartfelt condolences to the great people of Sri Lanka. We stand ready to help. Totally normal response. But Miriam Elder goes way out on this limb so far that she's about to fall off, that says, suspect we'd be hearing a lot more outrage from Trump and co. if the Christians killed in Sri Lanka were white. What? I have no idea where she got this from. I mean, she just reached so far into her body to pull this out of her rear end that it's hard to believe this is even real. And of course, she got ratioed for this, as she should have been. There are about 12,000 replies to her tweet now, which has only about 1,000 likes. Definitely well-deserved ratio. But sadly, she was not the only member of the media to have a terrible take following the attacks. Andy West, not sure who he is. He's verified on Twitter. I think he's a journalist. Yeah, he says he's a journalist. He told people that they shouldn't pray for the victims of the attack. Again, these are innocent people who were killed while they were worshiping on Easter Sunday. People who were traveling. Innocent people were murdered. And his take is that we shouldn't pray for them because some of them are Christians who were trying to convert Buddhists. This is what he said. There is no excuse for terror attacks against innocent people, but, there's the all important but, as a journalist, I saw Western Christian missionaries unscrupulously converting Buddhist orphans for food and shelter after the Asian tsunami. Don't send your prayers. What kind of literal piece of human garbage do you have to be to say that innocent people might have deserved to die because they were helping children after a national emergency? What kind of flaming garbage do you have to be to suggest that people's faith make them unworthy of your sympathy and your prayers? And what kind of total waste of space do you have to be to deny prayers to a people who were killed while praying? Andy West, delete your entire account, and delete more than that, honestly, because this is pathetic and disgusting. And he actually tried to defend this after he also got ratioed into oblivion. He wrote that the attacks on him were coming from aggressive, abusive zealots. He said, Twitter hates context, thought, and cause and effect, and prayers aren't needed. In fact, prayers are proven beyond doubt to have no effect. So again, literal scumbag feels the need to mock the power of prayer following an attack specifically against people who were praying. Horrible, horrible human being. He should be ashamed of himself. And, you know, it's pretty funny because over the weekend, people were criticizing these prominent Democrats for their responses to the attack. Conservatives were criticizing them. And it was because of the odd framing that they put on the story. So while Andy West was amplifying the faith of the people who were killed in a negative manner, the Democrats were actually burying it. So instead of calling the people who were killed Christians, which they are, or at least the vast majority of them are, the attacks were specifically targeting Christians, Democrats like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton referred to them as, quote, Easter worshipers. Now, I don't know what the hell that means, because no one worships Easter. And when you see these people using the same phrase over and over again, Easter worshipers, something that has never been used before, if you look at previous searches on Twitter of the phrase prior to the Sri Lanka attacks, there's like 100 total uses across all accounts. And yet all of a sudden these Democrats are using this bizarre phrase after an attack targeting Christians. And a lot of conservatives pointed out that it seemed like they were trying to downplay the faith of the people who were attacked because they didn't like the political implications of an Islamic terror attack against Christians. So it's pretty crazy where you have this terror attack specifically targeting a certain faith, and then all of a sudden, these leftists come out of the woodwork with their terrible anti-Christian bias. But if you're Brian Stelter, who hosts CNN's Unreliable Sources, then you're more worried about the typo in President Trump's tweet. One of Trump's original tweets expressing condolences to the Sri Lankan people had a typo in it. He said that the attacks killed, quote, at least 138 million people. Now, obviously, he meant to write 138 people, not 138 million. But he deleted the tweet within 20 minutes or so, and then he re-put it up with the correct number. Brian Stelter dedicated an entire segment of his show, Unreliable Sources, to criticizing the president's typo in a tweet where he was expressing sympathy to people who just died. An entire segment. And he claimed that this is proof that if Trump can't get the little stuff right, it makes you worry about the big stuff. No, Brian, actually, it makes you worry about your mental health, unlike the president's, which you like to question so often. But it certainly doesn't make me worry about your ratings getting any better, because I don't know who would watch your show for a minute of you criticizing the president for a typo. Pretty embarrassing, but not as embarrassing as Washington Post's response to the attack. This one might take the cake, because according to the Washington Post, the only people who are upset about over 300 people being killed are people on the far right. Christianity under attack, question mark, the Washington Post wrote in a headline yesterday. Sri Lanka church bombing stoke far right anger in the West. Well, gee, I don't know. I would think any normal person would be angry when a bunch of people are killed in a terror attack, but apparently it's only justified now if you're a member of the far right. I mean, is the Washington Post tacitly admitting that people on the left aren't upset about the attack? This should stoke everyone's anger when anyone of any faith is killed, murdered in cold blood just for practicing their religion. And the Washington Post needs to take stock of what type of headlines they're running after an international tragedy, because this is a total embarrassment. And speaking of religion and Easter Sunday, Special Counsel Robert Mueller attended Easter Mass in D.C., but he got more than he bargained for, because as he was leaving the church, he was ambushed by an MSNBC reporter. So this MSNBC reporter apparently staked out the church where Mueller was attending Mass, and as Mueller went to his car, the MSNBC reporter practically chased him down. He was sticking a camera, a microphone in his face as he was leaving the church grounds. There's all these other people milling about after the Easter Mass, and you have to watch this to believe it.
Sir, could I ask you a couple of questions? Will you testify before Congress, sir?
No comment.
Are you sure about that, sir? If he were anybody but the president, would Mr. Trump be indicted, sir?
Now that you finished the
sir, why didn't you make a recommendation to Congress one way or the other, sir?
Are you going on vacation at least somewhere?
Did the Attorney General accurately characterize your positions on conspiracy and obstruction, sir?
This man is trying to get into his car after mass, and he can't because this reporter is sticking his microphone in his face. It's absolutely insane. This is so inappropriate. There's a time and place for everything, including holding the powerful accountable, asking questions, being a journalist. But the appropriate time to do that is not on Easter Sunday when someone is leaving church with their family. I mean, that's just absolutely horrible. And in fact, the Poynter Institute, which does all of these seminars and courses about ethical journalism, called out this MSNBC reporter for what he did, rightfully so, because this is so, it's just sick. I mean, this reminds me of what CNN's Jim Acosta did to President Donald Trump at the Easter egg roll last year. When the president was coloring cards for troops with children, Acosta was shouting questions meant to be detrimental to the president. And this is just such a bad trend in journalism, because when people act like this, they restrict access for every other journalist, because people want to prevent this from happening, from them being ambushed and asked questions in inappropriate settings. And so they tend to restrict access for other journalists. So this is a dangerous trend for anyone who's trying to actually ask questions, get information in an appropriate manner. The Daily Caller recently launched a fact-checking section of our organization. It's called checkyourfact.org, and it's actually editorially independent from the rest of the Daily Caller. So it's a separate website, separate team, and they do fact-checking that's actually accurate, unlike the people at Snopes and PolitiFact who are so blinded by their left-wing bias that they end up rating things the Democrats say that are false, true, and things that Republicans say that are true, false. We talked about the Washington Post fact checker on a previous episode. And The Guardian is really upset that the Daily Caller's fact checking organization is partnering with Facebook. So Facebook has this new feature where they work with fact checkers who do reviews of other news outlets' stories, and they would ding those stories if they were rated to be false by a fact-checking outlet. But The Guardian is so upset, they wrote this entire article, a super long article that is really an op-ed disguised as an article, just attacking the Daily Caller over and over again because they don't like us very much, because we challenge their narrative. And there are so many things in this article that they said that are just completely false. First of all, they never actually attack checkyourfact.org, which again is separate from the Daily Caller. It's under the Daily Caller umbrella, but it's its own website. So they never even take any issue with anything we've published on Check Your Fact. Instead, they push these totally ridiculous complaints about the Daily Caller, including claiming that major fact-checking sites have, quote, repeatedly debunked Daily Caller content over the years. I followed the link that they went to. It takes you to a PolitiFact page for the Daily Caller, and there are literally two stories on there, and the latest one is from 2016, which is 3 years ago, and the other example is from 2014, and they're pretty minor corrections. So the fact that they had to go back that far just to attack the Daily Caller is so funny. And they also claimed that a Harvard report on partisan disinformation, quote, said the Daily Caller played a key role in creating and disseminating stories that promoted deep anti-Muslim sentiment and stoked the belief among core Trump followers that Hillary Clinton was criminal and treasonous. Now, I went ahead and read this Harvard report to see what the heck they were talking about. And it turns out that these Harvard researchers are actually just upset that the Daily Caller was setting the agenda on the corruption in the Clinton Foundation and the misconduct of Hillary Clinton in relation to the handling of her emails. If you read the report, it pretty clearly says that none of our reporting was inaccurate. They just believe it's misinformation because they don't like the results for the Democrats. So you can go back and read all of our stuff on the Clinton Foundation, and you will find that there's nothing about it that is partisan disinformation. But there is partisan disinformation in some aspects of the media. In fact, as we know, there was a lot of it in the 2 years covering the Mueller report and the investigation into alleged Russian collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, which we now know is a conspiracy theory because Mueller found no collusion. And the media, you would think, would want to take stock of all of these corrections that they had to make during the 2 year Russian investigation. But instead, they're actually patting themselves on the back. These people are so deranged that they actually believe that they did a good job while their credibility plummeted, while they issued correction after correction, after all of their tenuous connections between the Trump campaign and Russian officials blew up in their face. These people are celebrating themselves. The Washington Post in particular is really excited about the job that they did because Marty Baron, Paul Farhi, and Karen Tumulty, who are all employees of the Washington Post. Marty Baron is actually the executive editor, so he's kind of one of the head honchos at the Washington Post. They all tweeted out this article claiming that fake news in the Mueller investigation came from Trump, not the news media. And the article talks about how most of the media's reporting on Russian collusion was actually accurate, and the Mueller report just proved it. Of course, we know that is not true, because the Mueller report alone forced 4 corrections from various outlets for reports that they completely bungled. So, for example, BuzzFeed had to explain their report claiming that Trump directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress about a potential deal in 2016 in Moscow to build a Trump Tower. Of course, we now know that was not true. Trump never directed Cohen to do anything in relation to his testimony. And Cohen claims that Trump told him in some type of coded language or something to lie. So BuzzFeed actually had to write a whole article explaining their false article. That we know because of the Mueller report. We also know from the Mueller report that The Guardian bungled their story claiming that Paul Manafort visited Julian Assange 3 times between 2013 and 2016. The implication being, of course, that Manafort was getting stolen documents from WikiLeaks. Also proved false by the Mueller report. McClatchy, Cohen went to Prague. They wrote this story on 2 separate occasions, the first one making the initial claim, the second one claiming that Michael Cohen's cell phone had been pinging off of towers in or around Prague, which seems pretty impossible if he was never in Prague. The Mueller report says quite clearly that Cohen never went to Prague. His passport and other travel documents confirm this. But McClatchy is suggesting still that their reporting might be accurate. Their contention, I believe, is that they think even if Cohen didn't go to Prague, it's still possible that his cell phone was pinging off of towers there. Okay, sure. Proved false by the Mueller report. CNN, they claim that Trump knew in advance that his son was meeting in a Trump Tower meeting with Russians in order to get dirt on Hillary Clinton. We now know that even if Trump did know about the meeting in advance, he was not aware that it was with Russians, or that they were getting information from Russians in that meeting. Another story that was proven false by the Mueller report. And if we look beyond the Mueller report, we know that there are so many other stories that were wrong throughout the 2 years of the Mueller investigation. For example, CNN made this huge claim that Anthony Scaramucci was being investigated for ties to Russia. 3 CNN employees had to resign over that story. We know that CNN falsely accused Don Jr. of having special access to WikiLeaks stolen documents before they were made available to the public. We know that is wrong because 2 sources apparently read the wrong date to CNN off of the email from WikiLeaks to Don Jr. And there's just story after story that ends up exactly the same way. The biggest Russia bombshells that were talked about as means to impeach the president, proof of criminality, proof of some kind of massive collusion conspiracy theory, they all blew up in the face of the media. And yet the Washington Post somehow thinks that they should give themselves a pat on the back for all of the great work that they did, them and the rest of the media did, spreading disinformation to the American people. And the media has to explain why exactly for 2 years they were playing right into Putin's hands. They were doing exactly what the Russian meddlers wanted to do in the 2016 presidential election, which was they wanted to create discord among Americans. They wanted people to be at each other's throats. And by pushing this claim that the president was involved in some massive conspiracy with a foreign government to steal an election, played right into that goal. It sowed discord exactly the way that the Russians wanted it to. And the media is complicit in that, but they refuse to have any introspection, any self-awareness to understand that fact and try to do better in the future. And that's why we know the same thing is going to happen in 2020. The media is going to continue to spread this fake news that ultimately harms people like you. It is hurting you, the viewer, the American people. I don't care about the powerful elites. This disinformation and the things that they've been doing for 2 years and will continue to do into the future are hurting little people, the little people who expect journalists to take hold power to account, not to sit here and spread fake news to the people who are trying to become more informed about their country and their democracy. We'll end on, I guess, more of a happier note. Mayor Pete Buttigieg is going to be on Fox News this Sunday for a town hall as we head into 2020. I guess he was looking for some of those sweet, sweet ratings that Bernie Sanders got when he appeared on the network, because as we know, CNN has been having all of these town halls with Democratic candidates, and their ratings are absolutely abysmal. In fact, every CNN presidential town hall got lower ratings than the comparable programming on MSNBC and Fox News. And the whole point of hosting a town hall is it's supposed to be a viewer draw. And apparently for CNN, it actually was the opposite. It pushed people away. So I think Mayor Pete's making the right decision by going on Fox News. He'll obviously be able to convert a lot more people to his side because he's actually going to have people watching him. So for that, that's today's episode of Unfit to Print. Again, I'm your host, Amber Athey. Thank you, Daily Caller readers, so much for watching. And please let me know if you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast. You can email me at amber@dailycaller.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.